Alright, so this week's parasha is Parashas Truma. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yichu li truma. They shall take from me truma. Me'es kol isha sheyidvenu libo. From whom shall they take truma? From every man whose heart is in the giving mood. Yidvenu eloshen of a nedava, we'll see Rashi. Tikhu you shall take es truma si. Okay, let's see Rashi. V'yichu li truma. So Rashi says, what's the word li? What's the significance of the word li? Take for me. Rashi says, li lishmi. It should be for no ulterior motives. That's the simple understanding. It should be 100% l'shem shemayim. The truma shall be given only for Hashem. It should not be for honor. It should not be for a bribe to get your kid into yeshiva with the kohanim. It has to be given 100% l'shem shemayim. Next, truma. What does it mean, the word truma? This is very important, Rashi, hafrasha. The word truma literally means separation. That's the literal meaning of the word truma. Separation. You want to separate. Yafrishu li mimimoinam nidava, they shall separate to me from their money, from their assets, as a gift. When you give koihanim truma, it's the same thing. You're separating from your assets and you're giving it as a gift to the koihanim. Yidven libo lash nidava. Over here we have, here's the nidava. You shall give a gift. Interesting expression. Yidven libo, your heart is involved. It means you have a good will. Okay, we have over here an old French word. I don't know what that means. Tikhu es truma, you shall take my truma. Omer Abaseinu, gilul trumas, amru uskan. There are three gifts. There are three gifts mentioned in Parashas Truma. Achas trumas beka lagogoylas. One is a beka, is a coin per skull. Shenasu mehem adonim, kemosh mefurish be'ele pikudei. Beka lagogoyles, which is this the machsa shekel? I'm not sure it is. Okay, I think it is, right? Isn't this is the machsa shekel? The beka lagogoyles is equivalent to the machsa shekel, and from that money they made the sockets, the adonim for the mishkan. Remember last week we learned that the word adonim, the zdalid and the zayin are interchangeable in Aramaic, which is ozen. The sockets of the Beis HaMikdash have a relationship to listening. The foundation of Klal Yisrael is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kama Yishem Efurish Be'ile Fikudei Parashas Pikudei. V'yachas, the second gift is Chumas Mizbeach, Beka Lagogoyles, Likupois, for the boxes, Liknois Mehem Karbonos Tzibur. The second collection was another Machsa Shekel that was used to purchase the Karbonos for the Tzibur. Every single day, korbanos were offered on behalf of the tzibur, and the tzibur has to pay. Everyone has to have a portion in the korbanos. Everyone gives a machzor shekel. The achas, the third gift of Yisshumas and Mishkan, was a gift. Whatever you want, nidvas kolecha v'yachad, give whatever you want to give, and you can give whatever you want to give. So therefore, he's coming over here to explain that this one pasuk that we learned over here, and pasuk base, it says the word truma three times. Da'abel b'neishol yichu li truma. That's number one. Me'ez kolisha shayid venu libo tikchut. Tikhu es tirumasi, that's two. Now the next really spans into the next pasuk, pasuk gimel, v'zos hatiruma asher tikhu me'itan. Okay, so then it goes into the next pasuk. It says the word truma third time. So these two pasukim together, pasuk beis and pasuk gimel, it says the word truma three times. And Rashi is telling us a very nice drush. The three times it says truma correspond to three different gifts. One gift is the machzis hashekel for the purchase of the adonim. The truth was that Rashi is leaving out something very important, that collection was really primarily made as a census. It was a technique to know how many people were part of Klal Yisrael. That was the primary reason. They had to give something. It wasn't so much the money. You have to give a token in order that we can be able to count every member of Klal Yisrael. It happened to be that with the money that they used to make the census, that money was used to create the Adonim for the Mishkan. And that's important because ordinarily it's forbidden to count Klal Yisrael. We're not allowed to count Klal Yisrael. We all know that you don't count people, Ayin Hara, or whatever the reasons are. And whenever it does become necessary to count Klal Yisrael, it has to be done in such a way where there is an atonement. There is kapara. So when you count Klal Yisrael, you don't count them directly, you count them indirectly, by counting by counting coins. And that's also, that's not sufficient just to count Klal Yisrael indirectly. You have to also do something else, which is the money that is used for the collection is given as a donation for the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is the ultimate place of kapara for Klal Yisrael. So it's an interesting idea that whenever a person has to go through this process of counting, it's, again, two things. You count indirectly, and even by counting indirectly, it should all end in this case it was money, but I guess if you have other situations where you have to do accounting, the goal, the result, or the technique, whatever you're doing in the counting, there should be an element in the counting that will be for the kapara of Klal Yisrael. And the third truma is mentioned, Rashi says, refers to a general gift. Anyone, give whatever you want for the Beis HaMikdash, give whatever you like to give, whatever a person wants to give as a donation for the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rashi goes on to something very important. Yud-Gimel Dvar Hamur Mu'inyan. Rashi counts. Lama Nikru Talmidei Chachamim Seferim. They count. Rashi over here counts 13 different items listed in these psukim. Hopefully we'll get to them. Yud-Gimel Dvarim Hamur Mu'inyan. Kulam Hushchuchu L'Mlechas HaMishkan. Each item was needed directly for the Mishkan itself. Very unusual expression, Rashi. When you'll make an analysis, when you'll be medaktik, you will find every single item listed over here, which includes Zahav, Kesef, Mechayshes, Tcheles, Argaman, Tlashani, Sheish, Marzor. You can't go to the next page, you only have one page of it one time. Every single thing is going to be necessary for the Mishkan. Okay, that's Pasuk Beis. So we have the Yesodos. Truma, Li, we want to every, let's go to the outside. The word Li is Lishma, has to be no ulterior motives. It says Truma, Truma means separation. Separate from your assets as a gift. Then it says Yidvena Libo, it has to be with a Rotzoin Toiv. You have to want. A good, no coercion, has to be done with will. Then he put, why does it say three times? One for the Adonim, one for the Karbonos, and one for a general donation. And we're going to list 13 items. Every single item listed will be necessary for the binyan of the Mishkan. Now let's see the Targum. Malel Hashem im Moshe l'meimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Malel speak im b'nei Yisrael. That's interesting because it says over here the word Daber El. He's translating what El means im. What do you mean im? Should we malel libnei Yisrael? Im, okay, I don't know, he doesn't comment on that over here. But speak with the Jewish people, bnei Yisrael, v'yafreshun kodamai, they shall separate before me, af roshusa, truma. Okay, they shall separate, v'yichu li truma. The word v'yichu means v'yafreshun, and truma, he's translating over here, is kodamai af roshusa. Basically, these two words are the same, which is interesting because they're not the same. The word v'yikhuli, take for me, teruma. You would expect it to be two different words, but he seems to be saying that they're exactly the same translation, just the form of the way it's been used. V'yikhul means take, and teruma means a taking. Maybe this is where Rashi is coming to disagree. Let's just read the whole thing, then we'll come back and we'll analyze the Rashi. Rashi maybe is coming to disagree with the Targum. Targum translates these two words exactly the same. We call gavar from every single man, the Yisra'el libe. What does it mean, the Yisra'el? Yidven libe, Rashi also made a comment. He says, Rotzoin Toiv, Rashi's words were. L'shoin Nidova, V'l'shoin Rotzoin Toiv. Is Rashi coming to disagree? The Yisra'el libe. What does it mean, the Yisra'el? Let's hold off for one moment, we'll explain. Tisvun Yos Afra Shusi. He shall give. The word tispun means to give. Tikhu, he says the word tispun, I guess it says take. And tispun is another form of taking. Yos afra shusi my truma. Now let's see over here what he says. V'yafrishun, v'yafrishu l'chein perish rashbam truma hafrosha mimamayna. It means separation. Hafrosha means to be mafrish from your truma, from your assets. Uncle zrugel l'tagim l'kicha b'sharish nosaf. Now the question is, why then is Unkelus here changing his minuk? If the word v'yikhu means nosav nun samach beis, Why then is he translating here the word the yikuli mean the mafresh hafrosha the ulai shinik alafarish kefal lashin yiku tikhu, because we have repetition in the pasuk. There's a lot of repetition. Yikuli truma iskal shayidim will tikhu es trumasi. So he's giving an answer, which is a very interesting answer, because this we had this before in the Tag. We had this idea. It's not the first time we came across this idea. I think it's a very, very, very insightful idea in the Targum, which I guess if you study Targum, this is something which is a very unique, something very unique to Targum. And that is, we have to really go back. We learn together. We've come to realize that more often than not, words in the Torah, in Tanakh, do not have a precise meaning. You cannot make a dictionary. There's no way you can take any word in Tanakh and make a Webster's dictionary and give any word a definite meaning. Words are by nature abstractions, and the word is defined based on the context. The words have a general shayresh, which have a general concept, and the words are molded and are adapted into its context, according to each one of the commentators. But there is no precise definition for a word. Now that's a general principle that we've come to appreciate generally. Targum goes even further. Targum goes even further by saying, and this again, we had this more than once, the Targum, when you have a word twice in the same pasuk, the Targum does not tolerate that the word means the same thing twice. The Torah would not say the same word twice. Torah is not a college paper, English paper, where you're judged on the quality of your writing and you don't write, you don't repeat the same word in a sentence. That's not a good style of writing. If you have to repeat the concept in the same sentence, or even in the same paragraph, you'll notice the author, a good author, will use a synonym, will give you a different word, because it's just not good writing to repeat the same word more than once in a sentence or even in a paragraph. So how then can the pasuk violate this most basic rule and use the same word twice? Da'abel b'neishol v'yikhu li truma. And then it says again, at the end of the pasuk, v'yishkol shesha asher yidven li utikhu es trumasi. Now it's true. It's the same exact word. Okay, v'yikhu and tikhu. You shall take for me truma, v'yikhu li truma, and here it's tikhu. Now, even though from the context, one is addressing the people, they shall give, and the truth is it doesn't make any sense. The word yikhu means to take, not to give, and that itself is a separate whole parasha, many darshanim talk about that, but let's not even go there. But let's just learn over here is, speak to the Jewish people, vichuli truma. Let's learn very balabatish, is that and they shall give so that you, the gizbar, will take from them. You will take from them. And then it repeats itself again, tikhu es shumasi. That's not good English, that's not good Hebrew, to say the same word twice. Therefore, the Targum, this is what he does, being that words anyway have no definition in Tanakh, a word is just an abstraction, and a word is molded based on its context. If we have two words in the same pasuk, there's no way you can translate the two words the same. I mean, not no way, but where you can give a different meaning for each word, go for it. Give a different meaning. That's exactly what he does here in the most brilliant way. Since the common way to translate the word yikhu is the word tosef, tof samach beis. But you can't do that. You can't do that here twice, because that's redundant. It's just not good writing. It has to then mean that the word does not mean the same thing in both places. So pick and choose. So he wants to say that the word at the end of the pasuk is going to be the classic translation, the more common translation. Tisvun yos afrashusi, take what they have separated. And in the beginning, it doesn't mean take. It means something entirely different. It means separate. The yikhu, they shall separate li l'shem shemayim teruma a hafrasha. Okay, that's number one. That's the first interesting idea. The word appears twice. He's not translating it the same way. The first one means a separation, hafrasha. And the second time it means to take. And what's the difference between the word hafrasha? Well, obviously, in this context, if we're speaking to Klal Yisrael, it means they shall release the money from themselves. It shall be in a state of not here and not there. And then Moshe will come and retrieve it from nowhere. But let me explain this with a basic principle in the halach of hefker. How does hefker work? There is you own property, and then what happens? You mafkir the property. Now here's the question: if you're mafkir the property, this is a halacha question. I declare my chametz hefker. Until someone comes along and takes it, do I still own it? What is the lumdus of hefker? Hefker means I really, anyone who wants can have it. You make an announcement, I'm giving away stuff. Garbage. Let's say you put out garbage in front of your home. You put the garbage out in front of the house. So what have you done in essence? I have declared the garbage hefker. Eventually, we hope the city comes along and they take it away. Or maybe some scavenger comes along and pokes through the garbage and they find something they like. They're looking for metal, they're looking for bottles. Chamar l'tzlan, poor people. It's valuable for them. They come and they take. Fine, gesund de hey, take it all you want. Abbas mafkut. Question, al pi halach, let's say someone gets hurt. Someone gets injured from my garbage before the garbage collection takes it away. Am I responsible? Is this property called mine? Is it a bar hamazik? Obviously, you know, if I put it in the right place, you can't hold me responsible. But just more abstractly, if I am mafkir something, and when I am mafkir, someone now comes along and gets injured or something happens, am I accountable? Because it's mine. What do you mean it's mine? I was mafkir it. No. It's not released from you. You are still the legal owner until somebody else takes it. Hefker just means I'm giving permission for someone to take it. But legally, I'm still the owner. Or is the pshat hefker means? No. When you mafkir something, it's not yours. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you, and it doesn't belong to anyone. If someone comes along and acquires it, you got it. Another very common nafkamin is, let's say I change my mind. Let's say I put out my garbage. And then I'm after, I changed my mind. I want it. I want my garbage. There's something there that even though I thought was worthless, I now realize it's not so worthless and want it back. Do I need to formally make an acquisition, a kinyan, to take back something that I'm mafkir? So this is a very big debate among the poskim. How hefker is a chakira? It's a common yeshivish chakira. How does hefker work? In this pasuk, this is really what we're getting down to in this pasuk. According to the Targum says we have two words, yikhu. Dabel Meishol speak to the yikhuli truma. What does it mean, the yikhuli? The word yikach in the yikhuli koi is get rid of it. Take your money, your gold, your silver, your diamonds, release it. Release it from your possession. Release it for Hashem. Does Hashem own it? At this moment of time, no. Because Hashem did not yet make an acquisition. It's been released from my possession. It's not mine, and it's not Hashem's. It's my desire that Hashem should have it. But Hashem doesn't have it yet. Along comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem says to Moshe, now that they have released it, tikhu es trumasi. Now you take it from the state of hefker. If the word v'yikhuli means the same thing in both parts of the pasuk, then in halacha, there's repetition. If v'yikhu li means the only way I can be mafkir something, I can relinquish, is if someone actually takes it. It's not called I've given until the Beis HaMikdash acquires it. If that's what v'yikhu li means over here, there's nothing more to do. The Yichuli automatically release it. Then there's a taking. I'm letting go, and it's not called letting go until the Gizbar acquires it. We're done. There's nothing more to do. But if you learn that when it comes to giving a gift or a certain, like let's say, like Hefker, like this, for example, it's a two-step process. Let go. Let go. It's not yours and it's not mine. Now the Bezdin need to get the Beis Hamidosh needs to come in and to take it into their rishos. Now we understand why we need two words. We need a word to let go, because your letting go does not automatically mean that someone took it. And then we need Tichu Es Chumasi for Moshe on his end to take it. Two different words. The first word means let go. Malo Meisho V'yaf Rishun Kodamai Afra Shusa. Let go. Min kol gevar the Israeli bay, then from every man that tisvun yos afra shusi, Moshe, from all the people that let go, you decide which assets you want to take for the Beis HaMikdash. It's a two-step process, and that makes sense why we have two words. Because it's a repetition. This is a very interesting idea. And it's not the first time we had this idea in the Targum. Whenever there are two words that say the same word in the Pasuk, he will look to take one word and to give it an entirely different meaning. And it fits in very well with this concept that words are not defined. Now the Yesh, now he goes to another idea. Yesh levar the kaimelon, the hamikdash, the hamikdash, the kelov, tzrichim yos mishal tzibur. Now, what does that mean? What is he trying to say with that? Now, he's saying over here, there is another concept, which is different than what we said. It's similar. It's a cousin, and that is there's a halacha. In the halacha here is the hamikdash v'kelav tzrichim liyos mishal tzibur. It's a two-step process. In other words, the Beis Hamikdash does not take cash. Put it like that. Let's say you ever go to a store, you ever go to a place you want to buy something, and you take out your wallet, you take out a $20 bill. No. We don't take cash here. No. There's no cash here. We only take credit cards. Or we only take, I don't know, I was once in a car. It was a horror story. It was in an electric car. Okay, an electric car. What a nightmare. Don't get an electric car anymore, because they're not getting ready for the roads. Certainly not the cheap ones. We have a cheap car going back from a wedding, and the car is running out of electricity. The battery's gonna die. So the guy pulls out his smartphone. Where could we charge the car? They're called charging stations. So he finds a charging station, he drives, he goes there, and he wants to plug in the charger into the car to charge the car. So you gotta pay. You gotta take out your credit card. How do you pay? There's no one there. There's no human being to take cash. Guess what? There's no one even to take a credit card. The way you pay is with your smartphone. We don't take cash. We don't take credit cards. You have to go on to have a smartphone, and your smartphone has to be set up that it's connected to your bank account. And you press a couple of buttons, and then all of a sudden, it's released. So this guy spent a half an hour patching with the smartphone to go get it set up so he can go pay $3 to get the thing off the hook, to plug it into the car. Okay, so what's the mashal? Beis HaMikdash does not accept private gifts. The Beis HaMikdash only accepts corporate gifts. So the way you give money to the Beis HaMikdash is you give the money to a tzibur. And then the tzibur gives the money to the Beis HaMikdash. It sounds a little strange. You don't give direct gifts to the Beis, you give it to a tzibur, and the tzibur then sanctifies the money. That's the halacha according to some. That's what you do. The makad da mikdash v'keilov tzrichim lihiyois mishel tzibur. Not holy money, mundane money. But the one that gives the money to the Beis HaMikdash is a tzibur, not an individual. Therefore, let's say I'm a private citizen. I want to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. You give it to a foundation. You give it to some group. The Yochid HaMisnadev, an individual who wants to give a donation, Tzach L'Mosher, the tzibur. And then the tzibur gives it to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why we have two words in the pasuk. First is going to be v'yikuli truma. This is the individual. The individual is going to give the money to a tzibur, to a foundation, to an entity. And then yikuli truma is kol yisrael shayid venu libo. And then tikhu es trumasi. And then the foundation writes out the check to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a two-step process when giving money to the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be dignified, and the dignity of the Beis HaMikdash demands that they receive money from a tzibur. Is this any indication that the Torah acknowledges something called a foundation? One of the most mystical things, we live in the modern world, everything about money today is so mind-boggling, it's not to be believed. Okay, Bitcoins is in the news every single day now. Cryptocurrency, I still can't figure out what's it all about, how all this works. Cryptocurrency, but forget about cryptocurrency. Talk about going bankrupt. What kind of crazy thing is this today? A person today can declare bankruptcy, and all of you have to pay your creditors. You tell them to jump in the lake, go fly a kite. You take money, you owe a lot of money, and you tell them, sorry, I can't pay you, too bad, bye-bye, and you declare bankruptcy, and you're protected. The government protects you, you don't have to ever pay. Is that the way it works? I think sometimes you never have to pay. You're exempt. You just create a new business name and you start all over again. You never pay back your creditors. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is not to be believed. Is there such a thing in the Torah as declaring bankruptcy, and you don't have to ever pay your chayvos? The chayvos are there forever. You never. Okay, there's yovel. Yovel is the yovel. The shmita. Shmital cancels loans, but if you owe money, not everything is a loan. If you purchase something, you buy something, it's not a loan, you owe someone money. Shmita does not cancel everything. Shmita cancels, in fact, very few things. But so that's a novel concept. And then there's a novel, even more novel concept in America called a corporation. Limited liability. You make you pay for $99. You go online, you can make a corporation. Even it's $99, even less. You go, you file as a corporation, limited liability. It's a separate entity. What? What does that mean? A separate entity, an invisible, mystical entity in this world, where money goes in, and if the business causes harm to anyone, I'm not responsible. It's a make believe creature in this world that has its own bank account, money goes in, and it's not, and whatever happens, whatever hezek it does to the world, the shareholders, the owner, they're not responsible, because it's not me. It's not private. It's someone else. Very bizarre. In the Torah, is there such a thing as a corporation? Is there such a thing? Is there any zecher in the Torah as a corporation? Well, the closest thing you get to a corporation, Chazal, is this that we just learned right here in this pasuk, the opening pasuk of Parshas Truma. Why does it say two times the word yikhu yikhu? So Targum right away opens up a can of worms by telling us, translates the words differently. he has two different translations, Afrashusa and Tisvun. And along comes over here the Ma'atzar, and he goes to town, and he gives the Gevurah on a second shot, and he quotes this halacha from the Rambam. Rambam Hilchos Klei Mikdash. The Rambam passes like this, that when you give, I never knew this halacha. Such a halacha that when you give a donation to the Beis Hamikdash, you can't give the Beis Hamikdash. No cash here. We don't accept private donations. You got to give the money to the tzibur, to a corporation, and then from them, the tzibur, we're going to take the money. Who's the tzibur? Who is this tzibur? 10 people? How does all that work? It sounds a little bit like a corporation to me. It sounds like an entity that's been created by a group of people. Obviously, it doesn't have the same rules as America, and all the rules now, all these things working. By the way, you know, you've got to be very careful, because the rules of corporations in America are very different than the rules of corporation in Europe and in Israel. And every country has their own set of rules about what is the definition of a corporation. And it has a lot of practical halachas when it comes to ribis. How does ribis apply to, if you go take a loan from a corporation? La nochri sashich, liochicha loy sashich. If a corporation is so far, is removed from liability, even if the shareholders are all Jews, who says there's a din of ribis? The din of ribis is when you directly deal with people. Who says the din of ribis when it comes to a corporation? Okay, but yet obviously we're very machim, because all these credit card companies, they're all corporations, and we're very machim, banks are very machim on these things. But why really is it so? Bitcoins, is there a din of ribis? Is there a din of ribis if I borrow from you one Bitcoin and you want me to pay you back two Bitcoins? Is that called ribis? I'm sure it is. But why is it ribis? What exactly is a Bitcoin? There's nothing tangible about it. It's all make-believe. It's not even based on the economy of the country, just based on I don't know, some computer algorithms. How does all this work when it comes to ribis? It's shava kesef. It's saw besaw. What is shava kesef?
Israeli bonds.
What?
No.
Yeah?
Israeli bonds.
Israeli bonds. No, so a bond is a real, a bond is a loan. A bond is the real deal. A bond is based... Rabbi Lazer, we're losing you. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, so these are all different types. So over here, I just want to point out that over here we have a very interesting pasuk. Over here we have a pasuk that talks about repetition. There's a two-step process. And the two-step process, what happened in the middle? And in the second interpretation, he's telling us that it went to a tzibur. It sounds almost like a corporation. And how far can you go with this? It's very interesting to see the Rambam inside, to see all the nice kilo on the Rambam. If there is such a concept in halacha as a corporation to some small degree. Okay, let's go further. Next. The Ein Loimar Dug Lashina Mitam Shleshach Lekicha Lashem. Don't tell me the reason why Uncle is, she changed his translation. He has a very simple answer. Do you know why the Targum did not say the word Nasev? He said the word Hafrasha. How do you give to Hashem? How do you give? Hashem has a hand. Hashem has a wallet. He has an address, a bank account. There's no way you can say that you give to Hashem. When it comes to human beings, you can say that you give. Now when it comes to Hashem, therefore the Targum changes translation. The Ein Lev the Uglis Tshinu Mitam to Leshach Nichol Hashem. Surely the Kalmama Pasik Doim Eloshim, because we find later on that the Targum does say the word Nosev when it comes to Hashem. By the way, the Beis HaMikdash, isn't that a corporation? Who's responsible? If the Beis HaMikdash's property damages, Chazal say Potter, Shar Shal Hekdash, Shehizik, it's Potter. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is a corporation. Limited liability. Better. No liability. Zero liability. The Beis HaMikdash is probably the ultimate corporation. Hashem was way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the 21st century. Okay, Kodamai Lefonai before Vunasar Shali. Now here's another interesting point over here. Before me. Why does the Targum say Li as Kodamai? Kodamai means before me. Vunasar Shali to me. Li means directly to me. Direct deposit. Lefodai means before me. See, if you take this word over here in modern 21st century, you would say, Dabar Reisho Vichu Li. What do you mean, Li? You know what Li means? Don't send in a check. Direct deposit. Call up the bank. Wire them the money. You're going to send them a check? What, are you kidding? You're going to write down your credit card number, on a piece of paper and send in the mail? Even if you pay through credit card, it's a two-step process. The credit card company gives you, they charge you, and then they give it. Li means direct deposit. Isn't that how you translate this word in the 21st century? Rashi says, no. You know what Li means? It's something spiritual. It means L'shem Shamayim. No ulterior motives. Don't expect to get a plaque in the Beis HaMikdash for your donations. 100% L'shem Shamayim. But the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says Kodomai. So what does it mean, Kodomai? He's coming over here. For my needs. Uncle is the loikarashi, Shapirash Li Lashmi. So here he's openly saying we have machlekes, and machlekes in Rashi in the Targum, and then Lefonai. Lefonai means for my purposes. Okay, Li is not, it's indirect. Uncle Liske, I don't have a real grasp because you can play with what he, with this idea, what he's trying to say, but the fact that Uncle has said Lifonai, Kodomai, which means Lifonai, and did not use a word which means to me, indicates that when the Pasuk says Li, it's Lavdaf. It's not meant here to be translated literally to me. It means for my purposes. Maybe it means just sending a check. You can't give Hashem money directly, so it's for Hashem's purposes. Rashi obviously picked up upon that. We'll review in a moment all the difference between Rashi in a moment, but Rashi obviously picked up on that, and that is why Rashi commented. Rashi's parish is a critique on Uncleus. He disagrees. That's what the trigger. Every word of Rashi has been triggered by Uncleus. He did not like what Uncleus said Lefonai, and that's why he says, no, you got it all wrong. This is not just a way to give. It's L'shem Shamayim. A spiritual quality has to be present in the act of giving. Okay, let's go further. I'm going to talk over here. Now it says over here, Givar, every man should give a gift. Mashma Anoshim Zuchorim, males. Avol the Ravom. Who's the Ravom? Perish. Who's the Ravom? I'm not sure I know the Mizrahi. Rabbi Avraham. I think it's the Mizrahi. That's the Ra'im. I don't know. I'm mixed up. I don't know who the Ravom is. Perish Ish. It means Nefesh. It means a Neshama. Shari Gam Hanoshim. Have you two more kitzel in the puzzle later on? Ish the Isha. Al Yasu Oid. So therefore there's another fundamental machlekes. He says Givar. He's taking sides. Males, yes, females not. And this is a very big halachic dilemma. When a woman comes to a rabbi or to an organization and gives a big, big check of $1 million, what's the shayla? Halachically, are they allowed to take the money? Because according to halacha, Masha Konsi Isha Konabala, it might be Gezel. To give a large gift, you need the permission of your husband, according to halacha. Now, if it's her bank account, fine. But if she's writing a check on her husband's bank account, with her husband's name on it, a joint account, or her husband's account, it's not so simple. It's not so simple that a person, an organization, is allowed to take a large donation from a woman without having permission from the husband. If he was coerced to give the money, that's gezel. Okay, further. The Yisra'e. Okay, now this is a hard word. The Yisra'e means asher yisratzeh. Okay, Yisra'e means to want. Aramaic word for want, and Rashi says yidvenu loshen ritzoyin toif. Okay, the Yisra'e libei. Loshen akasi, then the libo masher, shalibo nidavasavachay nasa liboi. Mashma Shaliboy Nasa Isai Aval Uncle is taking Kilo Lashna Kazapoya Yadabliba Nas Liba. Alright, let's do that. So let's just review very quickly what we learned over here so far. A little over here so far is we have over here the Rashi. Go back to the Rashi. Now we're gonna appreciate what Rashi's saying. Rashi says, Michul Li Shuma. Rashi's first comment is Li Lishmi. He's coming to disagree with Uncles. Li does not mean for my purposes, for my needs, for the Beis HaMikdash. Li means l'shmi, l'shem shamayim. Truma. Rashi says, hafrasha, yafrishu li mimoinchem nedava. I notice Rashi says, Likuli is doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing here by reading the pasuk. The yikhu li teruma. The word truma means hafrasha, and that's going to change the word of yikhu to yafrishu li mimamoinam, from their money nidava, a gift. Now, what it seems over here that Rashi maybe is coming to help the Targum. We ask this whole question. Targum, there are two words. What's going on? How are we going to explain why there are two words that mean the same thing? So Targum says, not the same. The first time it means separation. How do you know that? Just because we have repetition told you to take the word the yichud, so Rashi is helping the Targum. Rashi is reading the Targum, and Rashi says, the Targum, you are correct, and I'll prove to you that you're correct. Because since the next word is teruma, and the word teruma means hafrasha, that's what it means. Targum himself really said that. Afrashusa, it means hafrasha, separation. Therefore, since it's the same expression, the yichu must also mean hafrasha. He's helping the Targum here. Okay, then he goes on, Yidven Aliv Lashon Nedava, who Lashon Rotsa in Taif. So Yidven, so the, what was the trigger? The word, it's a very hard word here, Yisrael Libe. Okay, Yisrael Libe, and he's pretty much according to the parish of Matzah, he's saying the same thing to a certain degree, Lashon Nedava, I don't know more. Tichu Es Chumasi, and there's nothing else. That's it. Rashi really has nothing more to comment on, he's just now going into Agadah and telling us why it says the word Tumah three times, and all 13 things that we're going to mention are going to be needed for the Binyan HaMishkan. Okay, we only did one Pasuk. Only one Pasuk. Alright, but at least we learned something. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Isai. Mir Hashem, I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody. My system is down all the time. I don't know why.
You're doing it on the phone or you're doing it on your computer?
On the phone.
So what do you use? What kind of phone do you use?
You gotta come in person.
You gotta get a better phone.
If you're gonna be there, you know I'm not gonna be there, right?
No. I had an LG problem today. I called up the idiot at the other end, says reset. So now my phone is messed up. Every time I listen to those idiots, reset.
I learned the hard way, Mayor. You get a phone, you get the best. You live today, you live on your phone. Don't go cheap on the phone.
I'm having an LG phone and all my kids have an iPhone. You also have
I have an Android. I have an Android, no. The iPhones are for the Gavirin. Those are like a Lexus, the iPhones.
I wanna have a my phone, not an iPhone. I
want to
have a
U-phone. The best phones are usually the Samsung. The Samsung usually the best, they usually make the best stuff.
What, compares to the iPhone?
The hardware on the Samsung is very good. The Samsung has a very, very good solid track record of having very good quality hardware.
What about the LG?
LG, I used to have an LG. LG is good, but I think the Samsung is better.
Every time I have a call coming in, people are saying, press, and a call coming in while I'm on the other phone, I lose one or both. But when you have an iPhone, you can manage, you can put the other one on hold or say, hold, but you can't do that on an LG.
You have to learn how to use an iPhone. It's a whole different system. The iPhone is an entirely different breed. It's a learning curve. You have to learn how to use the iPhone. It's very hard to switch over between iPhone. Mayor, you calling me? Mr. Glatter, how are you doing? So when was the baby born?